Next up, we have Bob Cohen speaking on behalf of New York Renews, as well as Citizen Action, at a forum called Carbon Tax 101 on putting a price on climate change. Here's Bob from the podium.
I'm mostly here speaking on behalf of New York Renews, which is a really, really unique coalition in New York State. I know people often say that, how broad their coalition is. We do have 120 members, but I think more important than the number of groups that we have formally signed on, although that is a very large amount, is that from the inception, New York Renews has been an attempt, and I think a successful attempt, to build a real coalition that is not your traditional environmental coalition. I don't want to disparage traditional environmental groups. I'm a member, have been active in many of them, but what we mean is, you know, traditional middle class. I know these are stereotypical white, but I'm not suggesting that that's completely true, but from the beginning, we try to do a different approach. So we do have members who are so-called environmental justice groups, traditional community groups like mine, political groups like the Working Families Party and unions. And based on our coalition reflects our values and it also reflects our proposal and the one I'm going to talk about today. So I'm glad that Dr. Hsu made the case for climate action and a carbon tax as well as Mark, so I'm not going to go into that. I think it was really very well covered. I want to just start off by just mentioning a couple of differences among the proposals that were mentioned in the one that I'm going to talk about, which is the Climate and Investment Act, Climate and Community Investment Act. We just wrote it, so I myself had to look down for the name of it, CCIA. So we have a pollution, we call it a pollution fee, and we'll call it our bill. As Mark mentioned, it is $35 a ton. As you can see, Mark said his is 35 and above. I don't think we are wedded to a specific level, except, and I think I'm pretty closely paraphrasing what Mark said, that it be high enough that it definitely impacts on climate, because that's one of the central goals, as Dr. Hsu said. But we have another concern, which reflects our proposal, that it raises enough money to do some of the social justice goals that we believe in. We respectfully disagree strongly with the idea of a climate, so-called revenue neutral climate tax or pollution fee. We believe very simply that in order to accomplish the level of reductions we need to do and do the social justice goals that we seek to do that have to be done, we have to do a lot, and it's expensive. There's no way around it. It takes a lot of money to build the new clean energy economy in New York, and we just think that it just can't be done by a revenue neutral tax. I also want to say Mark really did a good job in laying out the polling, so I'll just throw out one poll that we're going to release in more detail in the next few weeks. Our proposal, and this is, I guess, a good summary of our proposal, we asked the question whether citizens in New York support a proposal to, quote, charge large companies for the pollution they create that contributes to climate change and invest in renewable energy projects, create jobs in low-income communities, retrain fossil fuel workers, and provide tax rebates and energy assistance for small business and low and moderate income families. 84% of New Yorkers supported that proposal. And while I don't, you know, have memorized the so-called cross tabs with different constituencies, we did have the result that Mark described, that Republicans were moved toward, as well as Democrats actually, toward the proposal by the fact that it had these other social goals besides that would be done by a non-revenue neutral or climate tax. So I'm going to go really fast now because I know I have about 4 minutes. First, we're going to set, as I said, a price on all climate impacting emissions, not just carbon, of 35 $5 a ton. As I said before, it will increase by 5% each year over the consumer price index until 2050. And there's some exception to that. I won't go into it for reasons of time. 2050 is the target date for simple reason. We have another proposal that will do 100% reduction, again, with some exceptions in greenhouse gases by 2050. So our bills are almost work in tandem. And basically the concept of $35 is basically to do on a high enough level that it'll affect the market without shocking people too much. And I do mean in that sense economically and politically. Our bill, and we're not making this up, we actually have hired an economist to cost it out, will generate approximately $7 billion in revenue every year for the first 10 years for the projects I'm going to outline. And just to give people a basis of comparison, the New York State budget is roughly $150 billion. It's a lot of money, even in New York State. And the rest of what I'm going to be talking about is really quickly outlining how the money we propose to spend the money. Obviously, there's going to be huge debates if our bill gets considered as to the percentages and all the details. It will be a lengthy bill. So 30% of the revenue generated will go to a state fund we are proposing to create called the Climate Jobs and Infrastructure Fund that essentially is going to do big projects like electric buses, you name it, and so it's the big construction job creating portion of the bill.
2 minutes.
33% is going to help communities transition. I'm going really quick because of the time. So it's going to be the funding will be tilted to low income communities. 7%, a small but important part, is going to be for worker adjustment in places where workers are in coal plants, or there's no question that people will be thrown out of work in the short term in the fossil fuel industry. There's no way about it. And it does a bunch of things like worker retraining, early retirement, income for a number of years for workers that will be unemployed, et cetera. And that's obviously critical to political support for this proposal, and also it's a very important thing to do morally. And finally, as Mark said, there's an issue as to the increased energy costs, so 30% is going to be for a rebate. It's not going to be just on your energy bill. I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but low-income people can end up getting that charge as income, and they'll end up being no better off. So we found ways to do it in such a way that they'll get it, for example, MTA passes in New York City, where it won't be charged as income. So we've done a lot of thinking about the details of this proposal. So I'm sure I have about a minute left or less, so I just want to give two big numbers. The study we're about to release by University of Mass at Amherst finds that up to 2030 investments under our bill will create 145 to 160,000 jobs each year in New York State. And from 2031 to 2050, investments for 100% emissions reduction will create an additional 50 to 90,000 jobs in New York State. So I think that will counter, we hope, the argument that the doing right for the environment is bad for the economy. It is not. Thank you.
That was Bob Cohen from New York Renews and Citizen Action speaking yesterday at Carbon Tax 101, a forum about getting a price on climate change.